I'm Mark Sullinger, producer and one of the hosts of The Moth Podcast. For nearly two decades, The Moth has brought live storytelling to stages around the world and to millions of listeners. These are real people telling true stories from their lives. Stories about a lost family recipe, about working to free a wrongfully convicted man, about realizing you need to leave your May-December romance. Stories that will move you, surprise you, make you laugh. Stories you can't forget. Join us. Follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Evan Giddings, Dan Devone, 2 hours in the books, 1 hour to go. Taking your calls at 888-957-9570, reacting to the week that was, a 3-1 week. I had him at 2-2, but no. The chef said he wanted one more. 3-1, back to 8-6. Balance is restored, Dan. You know, on Saturday, last time we talked, his sky was falling. Wednesday, Draymond's calling out teammates, Kerr saying that there's not enough fire in the belly of a lot of these guys, and two games later, two 45 burgers later, which, by the way, has only been done at an age advanced of Steph Curry by the one Michael Jordan, things are back to being even keel. It feels like a little bit of a reset.
Do you still think they're on solid footing?
No. No, I don't. I mean, I think they should beat the Pelicans tomorrow, but you know, Orlando, Miami's a tough back-to-back. Like, this season is going to be a lot like what we've seen so far through the first 14 games. Is some nights they're going to look freaking old, and we're going to wonder how in the hell is this team going to make it to the postseason? And if they get there, how are they going to win not one, not two, not three, but four playoff series? And then there's going to be a night like last night, off the heels of the night before, which, by the way, in a little bit of a way, kind of mirrored what a potential postseason could look like, because you have, you know, the day of rest, you play the same team, same place. But there's going to be nights like last night where you're like, dude, the Warriors can beat anybody. You know what I mean?
Well, Steph can beat anybody.
Well, he does wear the Warriors jersey, so the Warriors can beat anybody.
Mm.
Because the issue that I still have with this team, even with Jimmy Butler.
You got a lot of issues with this team. Let's be honest.
They're still one-dimensional. And they always will be, obviously, as long as Steph is upright and doing his thing. But I thought we'd close that gap a little bit with the addition of Jimmy Butler. But it's still all about... Because remember Butler, towards the latter part of last year, when things were going well, the addition, and they were sort of trading places, and, you know, it was looked like it was Butler's team at times. He changed the entire tempo. And it was just so clear what it is that he meant. And they're like, you could say, oh, hey, this is a Batman-Robin sort of scenario here with the Warriors. Now I feel like we're right back to Steph has got to be special in order for you to have a puncher shot.
Well, I think there were nights last year, to your point about Jimmy, where it felt like he could be Batman for a night. You know, he's Robin, obviously. Curry's the best player, but there were nights where he could take over.
Yeah. I'm Batman.
It doesn't really look like that's the case. It looked a lot like the few games that Curry has missed. It kind of looked a lot like the Minnesota series where, and I don't know if it's because people are throwing all attention at Jimmy and he can't really conjure it up that much anymore, but the days of him willing a squad to victory and you being a successful team over a long period of time through that method, those days are gone. Like, it really does hinge on the legs of a 37-year-old, which is crazy. But that's also the way that they built the team. You know, as much as I feel like that's a foolhardy task, there are some smart people that work in that organization, and they felt like this was the best way to attack this. And I think there are some reinforcements coming, obviously. Seth Curry was available to be signed on the 11th, and they're waiting. But DeAnthony Melton's going to return. And I don't think you're getting back... Like, you're not getting Jalen Williams back, which is what Oklahoma City eventually will be. But I think that gives you some more depth. That gives you some more perimeter defense. Obviously, more of a 3-and-D guy. I know he had some good returns last year in the 6 games that he played for him. So he should help a little bit. You know, but I think that the biggest issue I have with this team is it is about Steph, but it's Like, they've gotten virtually nothing from their center position. Virtually nothing.
Like, I think Horford was better. He's not shooting it well, but he was good and blocking shots and playing good defense. I know it's something we don't pay a lot of attention to because we're just focused on him being a stretch five and hitting short corner threes, but maybe not good, but much better than he has been in terms of his contribution.
Well, defensively, he's been good, but I think also it's because you get nothing defensively from Post. So it's kind of like a trade-off. You know, Post is supposed to be a guy that is hitting shots, and when he doesn't, he's not very valuable because he's going to be a turnstile on D. But Horford is a guy that can at least defend a little bit, and he just has not been able to hit a shot. He hit a couple on the Wednesday game. He hit three threes on Wednesday, but... You know, if I'm thinking down the line and like, what does this team need? It's not necessarily like a true 7-footer. Maybe it is a wing. I don't know. They just try and go small, but it's got to be somebody that can help preserve Draymond Green for the long haul. Because I think eventually they're best with him at the five and Jimmy at the four. And I know they're going to be small no matter what, but I think that works for them. But to your point about Curry of making sure that he's healthy. I do think we also have to think about how they keep Draymond healthy, because there was an article that was written this week, and it's glaring that when Draymond's on the floor, they're the second-rated defense in the league. When he's off the floor, they're 29th. And so I got to figure out how we get that version of Draymond when we get to the postseason and for these big games. And
it's
just
not by playing him at the five.
No, it's not. But that's the thing. Like, you saw the difference between them the first, gosh, what was it? I guess 12 games. You know, they were good. Like, they had some nice wins, and against Denver, Al Horford played well enough and all that. But, like, they're clearly at their best when they go small.
You know, Al Horford, the addition of him, and I said this to you last week, and I'll repeat it, that it's just, that kind of speaks towards the Warriors' arrogance when it comes to getting players. It's like, we have our crosshairs on Al Horford. He'll fit into our system. He's a cerebral player. He's a stretch five. That's exactly who we want. And sometimes you just have to get young, and you have to get young legs, and you have to dismiss this whole idea, well, it's the Warrior way. It's the Warrior culture. That's just that's how you end up getting old and other teams passing you by and you being in the midst of a rebuild for the next decade. You know who you should have got? And you're going to laugh at this.
Brooke Lopez?
Who's available?
Who's
Mark Williams. Remember the guy who was traded to the Lakers?
I think he's hurt right now.
He's doing exactly what it is that you're asking for with Phoenix. And Phoenix, by the way, as much as we want to like laugh at them, hey, better record than the Warriors. And I'm just saying, Mark Williams is a guy...
That team has played some stinkers, though.
And they won't be very good, I don't think, when it's all said and done with. But I do think that... You know, Jalen Green and Devin Booker and Grace. It's a different...
Williams or DeAndre Ayton? Is that...
Who was the guy that was traded to the Los Angeles Lakers?
Oh, that was Mark Williams.
Williams, the kid out of Duke.
Mm-hmm.
He was traded from Charlotte. And, you know, he gets dealt to the Los Angeles Lakers, and then for whatever reason, they revoked the trade because of a physical, right?
Well, yeah, because he's got underlying issues with... Like, he can't stay on the floor. No, I'm with you. When he's on the floor, he's actually one of the more efficient offensive centers in the league.
But my point being is that the Warriors would never entertain somebody like that. No, it's Al Horford. Al Horford's best years are clearly behind him. How can you not forecast that the guy is going to turn into a pumpkin eventually? And it could be this offseason. He's old. But the Warriors are just so focused on, well... We want to do it our way, which is different. We zag when everybody's zigging, and that's, you know, that's part of the frustration when you think about the composition of this basketball team.
Well, I think the issue with someone like a Mark Williams, and it does come back to Draymond. Like, I think one of the reasons why they're best at the five with Draymond is because they can put another shooter out there. Like, if Mark Williams is on the floor, Draymond he's offensively irrelevant. Because he can't shoot. You just saw him go 4-for-23 in the last two games when there's a capable rim protector. And you need him defensively, but offensively he's a minus. Unless he's surrounded by
Yeah, but
by shooters.
Why is he going to play with? You don't need. He's not playing with Draymond. He's not starting.
Mark Williams.
If he's with the Warriors.
The whole point is they can't find a center that can play alongside Dre. Like, I think that's why Post starts, is because he can shoot threes. That's why they identified Horford, because he can shoot threes. He's supposed to be able to.
He's averaging over 11 points a game. That's 60% from the floor.
Yeah, but look at the rest of the Suns. I mean, they just have a ton of shooting around him. I mean,
no, and I'm just using, I understand what you're saying, and Mark Williams is not a guy that I'm really big on, but I'm just saying that the Warriors would never entertain a young big that has just raw upside that maybe you can cultivate into your culture. It's always these De'Anthony Melton, or let's bring him back, or the Al Horfords of the world. Like, yeah. There's got to be... You know, and then you stumble on somebody like Will Richard, and it should open up some eyes. It's like, holy crap, this is what young dudes who are springy, that can get up and down the floor, they can complement the other players we have.
But I also think that Will Richard is the kind of player that Steve Kerr likes to use. I mean, he's a Warriors prototype. I mean, you watch him, he knows where to be, he cuts, he is not a turnstile defensively, he can knock down some open shots. But he's not a game changer. Like, he's a good role player. And I guess that's where we were fighting last week. It's not that I'm saying that Will Richards is a bad player. He's clearly good. But if you have a bunch of Will Richards, you're going nowhere. He's a guy that you have to, like, he's someone who surrounds the talent. And I feel like it's you kind of have to choose. Like, you have to choose whether you want to empower a guy like Draymond, or if you want to do something like what the Houston Rockets do, which is like they rotate three centers and they have two bigs on the floor, it feels like, at all times. And their whole strength is just size. Like, they're going to try and beat the crap out of you. But the Warriors, I understand. I mean, Horford to me was not like a game-changing signing, but I understood why they did it. It's because in order to make sure that Draymond is at his best, and I think the Warriors are at theirs, you have to have someone who spaces the floor next to him. And this is from the 510. So this is an interesting suggestion, which I don't know if you saw this week, but Boxer and Gerson, work injury attorneys text line, the Warriors need an AD, Anthony Davis, who has been rumored to potentially be involved in a trade upcoming in a couple months because Dallas is in disarray, but shooting, rim protection. Like, does Anthony Davis do it for you?
I don't think he fits well with the Warriors. And his contract is ridiculous. It's like, I don't know, maybe you can find it. It's like 38 this year, maybe 40 next year. I think his last year he's pulling $62 million, if I'm not mistaken.
I think you might be right. Yeah.
Is 50, what's he making the last year?
He just stepped into his new extension. So 54, 58, 62. And it's a player option when he's 34 years old. You want that?
No. And you're right. Dallas, you talk about timelines.
Oh, God.
You just got to build around Flag right now. Just build around
what
Cooper.
What else are you going to build around? Brandon Williams? A lot of guys didn't even know who that was.
Luka.
Easy. By the way, like, after thinking about it, I do kind of feel bad for Nico Harrison.
Here we go.
Look, I've had some time to sit on it. Put it on the other side of the pillow.
Slept. I say he's an idiot.
Well, he was. But I got to give him the benefit. Although he did mess up the Curry, the Curry meeting back when he was a Nike rep.
What benefit of the doubt? I want to hear this. Can we go out to, can we pipe in Dallas somehow? Can we just like get to the airwaves of?
No, it's like clearly the owner is trying to do something nefarious with that organization. And Nico Harrison was a part of his bidding. But he should have been fired the moment he traded Luka Doncic, because the moment you do something like that, your job is on the line. Unless you
but
win.
But the owner endorsed the trade.
Well, the owner might have been at the forefront of the trade. I don't know.
That's why you couldn't trade him right afterwards.
Yeah, but how do you not get Austin Reeves? How do you not get a second first-round pick? How do you get a broken Anthony Davis who's got $160 million left on his contract? And God love him, but Max Christie.
Max Christie is a good player.
He's fine. Okay. He, yeah. He's good. He's good.
Worst trade in the Warriors. They always say the Herschel Walker was the worst trade when Walker was traded from the Cowboys to the Minnesota Vikings. And at the time, Dallas got all those picks.
I mean,
which became the foundational pieces for their Super Bowl runs with Troy Aikman and company.
Pasta probably knows this. Didn't the Red Sox trade Babe Ruth for a washing machine?
Traded him
they did.
For money.
They traded him for money because the owner was a playwright and needed to fund his play.
And if you can, if you can tell me the name of that play, do you want to say it together?
Death of a Salesman.
I don't even know the name of the play.
Well, look it up. I could be wrong. Bye-bye Babette.
Is that why they call him the Babe?
No.
He was definitely Babe before that, but it is...
Bye-bye Babette or something like that?
Hang on.
All right. Well, anyways, that's my submission for the worst trade ever.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Oh. I mean, recent memory, it's... The Lakers are good, and the Mavericks have fallen off a cliff. I guess it did help them get the first overall pick, but that was not intentional. So, yeah, Nico Harrison ain't doing too well. Pasta, while you look for that, can we go to a...
No, Nanette.
Oh, no, Nanette. All
no,
right.
No, Nanette. Well, yeah. That's pretty good. Bye-bye, Babette.
You hit all the synonyms.
That's pretty close. I'll give you the bucket. You can count it.
Hey, come on, for random knowledge?
Bye-bye, Babette. No, Nanette.
No, Nanette.
Oh. I know, there was alliteration somewhere along the line.
There was. I was like when I, who did I think?
I dare you to top that useless knowledge today.
Well, it's...
Some crimes are so shocking, they don't just make headlines, they forever change our society. I'm Katie Ring, host of America's Most Infamous Crimes. Each week, I take on one of the most notorious criminal cases. Each case unfolds across multiple episodes, released every Tuesday through Thursday, from the first sign that something was wrong to the moment the truth came out or didn't. Listen to and follow America's Most Infamous Crimes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
I always misremember Pasta's girlfriend's name.
Adrian!
Yeah,
Adriana.
It's Adriana, but I always call her Adrian, so sorry, Pasta.
They're getting married this year.
No. You need to stop that.
What?
Putting his business
Adriana,
out there.
Relax.
No, you know she's a loyal P1. She's listening to this, and we don't want her to get any ideas. He's in the shallow end right now.
We talked about it.
I'm not even in the pool.
Well, you're a different animal altogether.
Yeah. Yeah, Pasta's got agendas. You're right, 408. You are absolutely correct. All right, let's go to a man with, I don't know, we could call him an agenda. He's always got something to say.
Well, you're going to go to Pods, right?
I'm going to go to Mitch in New Jersey. You're going to go to Mitch in New Jersey. What's up, Mitch?
Just got moved up.
Good afternoon, Evan.
Mitch, for crying out loud.
What's up, Mitch?
How's it going, Evan?
You slid up in the batting
Dan,
order.
Sigma, cool.
Absolutely.
What's the batting order?
You slid up, Beaubichet.
Why don't we get guys that are older? We should be getting younger guys. Okay, any way you can make a trade so the team gets younger? And let's not put Curry. He's not like Willie Mays when he finished his career at the Mets. He's only a pinch hitter like that. He still can play a lot. They're not playing every game, so I don't know what's this bit about getting overworked. And I wish they could trade Draymond Green to somebody. But these two guys, they had one full school, and one guy was taking the second round.
Oh,
they're
here
both
comes.
Hall of Famers, first ballot, right? And one more thing. This knock on Davis, the trade. I thought that trade was kind of even. It wasn't so lopsided. Anthony Davis is a Hall of Famer, too. He's just a little older and gets hurt, but, you know, he plays tough position.
I was saying, wait for it. He's either going to give us a crazy name to trade for, or he's going to say something absolutely absurd, and you fulfilled. You checked all the boxes again, Mitch. I love you, brother.
One more thing.
Yep.
Otani. He is some player. A guy like that win 3 MVPs in a row, amazing. That's the worst trade ever, I think. The Angels, not even getting anything for the guy. Let him walk.
Hey, Mitch.
Thanks, guys.
Mitch. You there? Mitch.
I'm right here.
Any gabagool, on the table for Thanksgiving at your house?
It's the only time I have turkey, and I prefer the white meat.
Aren't you Italian?
And mashed potatoes.
No, you're not Italian.
No, I'm half a Colombian, half Russian and Jewish. I keep the Russian out. I usually don't mention that.
We don't even want to.
Thanks, Mitch. Appreciate the call. What are you doing, Dan?
I always thought we talked to like Italian food. Maybe I got the wrong guy.
White meat.
That might be the craziest take that Mitch has ever had.
No, but
white meat is better than dark meat.
Boy, what's wrong with that? I have to be honest with you, turkey is, I'm not a turkey guy.
Yeah, but if
I
you're...
like OnlyFans. Oh, come on.
But if you're going to eat turkey...
Can I just give the backstory,
Jesus.
You guys were talking about novels that you've read. You were talking about how academic you were. And so I was just trying to be the on the other side of the coin and inject some humor that I haven't read anything and I watch OnlyFans.
It's not the other side of the coin. It's the other side of the bank. Dude, you took the extreme side to... Where Mitch was from, have you ever
watched OnlyFans? You ever subscribed? Be honest right now.
No, I've never subscribed to an OnlyFans site, a porn site, whatever other site.
Well,
never.
Porn's free.
That's what I'm saying. I would never
subscribe. Top. Jeez, pasta.
Okay, pasta. How many of these do you have?
Hands down. But put your hand. Come on.
I think that's it.
All right. Let me hear from this guy. I want to talk to the guy who wants to talk about pods.
Well, I want to give him his just due. We give Mitch 7 minutes. I want to give Lewin Hayward all the time he get. Loop, I promise, because we got to hit a break here in like a minute. I want to give you your full runway. We'll roll out the red carpet for you. Dan Devone's going to figure out if you're Jewish, Russian, Asian, whatever on the other side. We're going to dig deep with you. We want to talk about pods. I promise we'll talk to you and give you your full allotment on the other side. Real quick, 510. Worst trades. Robert Parrish and the number 3 pick, which became
Kevin McHale
for Joe Barry Carroll. And he also submits, or she, John Elway for Chris Hinton and a first round pick.
Well, Chris Hinton was a very, very, I want to say, perennial all pro bowl performer as an offensive lineman. But
they also
yeah.
kind of had to trade Elway.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't going to play
forced.
There.
Yeah.
He wasn't going to play there.
Give me another one.
Bad trade.
Oh, is that it for the list?
Well, that was just from the Boxer and Gerson work injury attorney's text line. Oh. Well, I'm trying to think of a Warriors one. I'll come up with... Oh, Chris Carter. Chris Webber. Jesus.
Let's go to a break.
I'm thinking about bye-bye baguette. Or was it Babbitt? No, Nanette. That's going to stick with me. I'm off my rocker. Giddings and Devone back after this. Warriors this week, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Warriors this week on 95.7 The Game.
All right, I might be getting us into a little trouble here, Pasta. You let me know. You produce this show. You run things. You are El Capitan. This is from Bennett Roth in our YouTube chat. Evan, can you ask Risotto if he is down to play one of my beats as a bed for when y'all return from this commercial break? I don't know about this one because Pasta's got his hands in a lot, but next Saturday, because this is our last break, or are you going to queue one up right now, Pasta? See, Pasta's got a lot going on back there. I don't think people understand how hard he works. Oh, is this him? Oh,
this works.
I like this.
Whoa, what is this? Who said this? Who wanted this?
This is from Bennett Roth. I can get down to
what's
this.
What's the guy's name?
Bennett Roth.
Yeah, Bennett. A few weeks ago, Bennett sent me a bunch of music that could be used as rejoiners, and this is one of them.
Is this Bennett actually producing or putting this together? Is he in...
I believe so.
I like this beat. Not Eric Roth, the great screenwriter, but Bennett Roth, the beat maker.
Hey, just keep this under. You can keep this under what it is that I got to say, but did you happen to see what it is that DeAndre Hunter, I like this beat, what DeAndre Hunter did to Josh Giddey?
No.
Whoa! Pasta?
I didn't see it.
He's on my fantasy basketball team, but I didn't see it.
Are you kidding me? Are we doing a basketball show here or what?
Dude, I was here until midnight last night. I apologize for not watching another. The only
DeAndre
Virginia
Hunter.
Guy I watch is Trey Murphy.
DeAndre Hunter crossed up Josh Giddey and literally broke his ankle.
Is he hurt?
He hurt his ankle because he got crossed up. He went one way. Fell on his butt pad, and DeAndre Hunter went to the rim, dunked, his entire bench went crazy. Josh Giddey had to be helped off the floor because he sprained his ankle. They literally call it breaking a dude's ankles. He broke the ankles of Josh Giddey. I advise everybody, to go and watch that, as well as who was Buddy Hield going the wrong way for the Golden State Warriors in the closing seconds against San Antonio.
Well, actually, that makes sense, because I think last game that the Bulls played was without Josh Giddey.
You just have to say, it's like, oh, wow, you really did get your ankle broken.
Okay, well, maybe Virginia does have some products. I wasn't
from Virginia.
Trey Murphy is from Virginia. Ty Jerome's from Virginia. Well, so we were talking about this during the week, because Steiny was like, oh, I like this guy because he went to Virginia. And is there someone? There might be someone on the Warriors who I'm missing right now.
Ralph Sampson. You said him earlier.
There is not. Yeah, no, Virginia used to have great players. But my point was, he liked the guy because he went to Virginia. And my point was, there's not a lot of guys that have come out of Virginia that have been very good.
Is that how you got into Ralph Sampson?
Well, yeah, because he was saying, he was like, oh, well, I like this guy because he went to Virginia. Like, don't let me find out you passed up a guy because he went to Virginia. I was like, Virginia's a fine school, but it's not a basketball powerhouse, especially now that Tony Bennett's gone. But Trey Murphy, DeAndre Hunter, those are like the two guys that I could name who I think are like legit NBA dudes.
Tony Bennett was a regular on my show.
Whoop!
If you want to know why? If you can put that together.
Well, I know he was the head coach of Washington State.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you. Very good.
He was Klay Thompson's head coach.
Yeah.
So that was when you were up in Seattle?
Yeah. And his old man was the head coach. He took over for his old man.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, there's...
And so I asked
a lot of nepotism right now in the college game.
First show, I asked him, I'm like, hey, can you do a little Tony Bennett? Or can you give me a... Or I said something sort of sarcastic about the singer Tony Bennett, and I left my heart in San Francisco. And his first comments to me were like, yeah, Dan, as if I never heard that before.
Well, you're kind of a cheesy guy, so... If someone didn't know you, you'd probably think you were trying to mess with him. You swing below the belt.
I remember Steiny was up in Seattle, and he said this to me, and he's like, yeah, I saw you. And it wasn't like, yeah, you were really good, and trying to be, you know. What's so beautiful about Steiny is that he doesn't exchange the lame pleasantries. You kind of know where you sit with him. And he said, yeah, I saw you. And you had like a go-to line or something. Yeah, I'm like, what? I didn't have, like, it's almost as if he was like, you're one of those guys who was like, with a cheesy boom goes the dynamite.
That's
like,
exactly what he said you said.
Oh, is that what he said?
Yeah, he said, yeah, I saw Devone and did like a boom goes the dynamite thing on one of his telecasts.
I saw it. And it wasn't like, I saw you on TV, man. Good job. Yeah, Dan was big out in Seattle. Good. He's like, yeah, I saw you. You had like some go-to line. Like, I was like, I love you and hate you at the same time. That's the most underhanded compliment ever. Like,
well, that's where
I never had. There was a dude
Did you have a catchphrase?
No, there was a guy named Keith Kachuk, Kachuk's father, who was a goalie. And every time, no, Keith Kachuk, who was with the Coyotes, and every time he would score, because I never did NHL highlights, I would just scream his name because it was so. I was like, Keith Kachuk, Kachuk. And then, like, my fans got it. And so I was like, I had fun at the expense of Keith Kachuk. And I guess that might have been a bit. But I wasn't one of those cheesy dudes who was, you know, coming up with these lame catchphrases.
Is that a shot at Stuart Scott?
No, why?
Because he's the guy that was probably the most famous when I was growing up for having, you know, cool as the other side of the pillow.
He did Keith Kachuk?
No, he didn't do Keith Kachuk. I'm just saying he had cool catchphrases.
Oh, yeah, well, your catchphrases at the end, at the network level is one thing. But if you're locally and you're throwing that, it's kind of like, come on, man.
Willie Bloomquist, the silent assassin. All right, let's go to Lou, who's in Hayward, has been hanging on patiently. Lou, I promised the red carpet. It is there for you, brother. What's going on? Good morning.
Hello?
What's up, Lou?
How you doing, man? How you doing?
I'm doing well. What do you got for us?
Good. I just want to get my thoughts, you know, because lately I've been hearing a lot of thoughts that the Warriors are too old and how the Warriors need a center. You know, so I wanted to put my thoughts in what I think we could do that can make us work, that can get us a ring this year, you know, because I think right now the Warriors are looking to get a ring with Curry coming to the end of his end of his years with Draymond. You know, I think they're really trying to get that last ring. So what I think should happen is over the past few games, I don't know if you guys have been watching the same game as me, but Brandon Podziemski is just not that Brandon Podziemski I saw last year. I thought this year was going to be his breakout year, but I've been seeing a lot of not a lot of good things from him, you know. So what I'm thinking is we can get rid of him, and I'm looking at a bunch of centers that we could use, like maybe Brook Lopez or even like Chris Boucher, you know, someone that can come in, not take that much cap room, so that we could still have, you know, our main players, you know, that we're building around. Jonathan Kuminga, you know, Moses Moody, you know, those are the players that we can bring up. You know, Brandon Podziemski, what is he going to do when Melton comes back, you know, and when we maybe even get Seth Curry back, you know, just those are my thoughts. You know, just wanted to hear what y'all thinking about that.
I got you, Lou.
Oh, hey, I got a guy.
Who?
Just thought of this. He's with New Orleans. I think his name is Kevin Looney? Kevon Looney. Kevon Looney. I think that's how you pronounce it. Like, he can get rebounds for you. He's a center.
This ain't 2022, though.
They miss him, though.
They miss the old version of him.
Nah.
Why didn't he play last year, then?
There are a lot of reasons why he didn't play, but when he did, he was still effective at times.
But, okay.
I'm just saying.
If you can airdrop 2022 Loon back into this team, I'm doing that. And I agree, they miss what he used to provide, which was
they miss
specifically offensive rebounding.
They're missing somebody who can offensive rebound the basketball.
Yeah, no, he was one of the league's best. But that guy, I have my doubts that guy's still around. But you never know. I mean, heck, they got rid of GP2. And then traded 5 second-round picks
for him. I'm joking. We don't want Kevon Looney back. That's like the last thing you need. He's not old, but he is old.
But this is where I think you're onto something, because earlier you said that the Warriors, they fail sometimes in that they don't let go of the past.
Yeah.
I could see him making that move.
Oh, God. Be better than that, Dunleavy.
925's with you.
Too old.
Bring him back. Loon is also ready to start hitting threes.
No.
Okay. Well,
by the way, is Jordan Poole healthy? He'll be playing?
I think he's coming off the bench for them.
I love it.
You gotta let the hate go from your heart, man. Actually, he's been out for the last 5 games. It's unfortunate. He probably would help the Warriors. Yeah, they're too small and they're too old. But they got Steph, and that's really what matters. You want to go to D in D.C.?
Yes.
All right. D, it's been a while, brother. What's going on, man? How are you?
What's going on, Evan? What's going on, my favorite coconut?
What's up, D?
Can't complain, man. Can't complain. Listen, man, I have one thing to say. We are a Trey Murphy or a Larry Markkinen away from contending. We have to do whatever we have to do by the trade deadline to try to get one of those dudes. Either guy would work for me. If we do that, we can compete with the best of the best in the West and in the East. Chances are we'll probably even go to the finals and win the next the fifth ring for Steph Curry. Lakeup needs to do what Lakeup has to do. Stop being a clown and trade the young players and a couple get off of some of the picks that he's trying to hold. I don't know why he's holding on to them when you have a megastar like Steph Curry who's still a very dominant player. So, there you have it, man. That's all I have to say, brothers.
I got you, D. Hope you're well out there. So, he brings up something interesting, which is, why do they hold on to these picks? Because I kind of see it both ways, Dan.
By the way, Lauri Markkanen's having a hell of a year.
Everyone's having a hell of a year.
Well, he was not good last year when they wanted him.
Well, they didn't play him. They quietly just sat him the last 30 games of the season.
If you're doing well and you're in a Utah Jazz uniform, you're not going to get run.
No, but also, I'm not doing business with Danny Ainge. He's going to...
Well, you can, but he's going to... The thing is, you're right. It begins and ends with Danny Ainge, because Danny Ainge is going to hang up on you because you don't have enough capital to interest Danny Ainge.
Well, this year they actually might, and it's what D brings up. I don't think the players are that valuable for the Warriors. Even you could think Kuminga's going to be something. He probably has the most potential, whatever. Their picks are valuable. And they're valuable, I think, because of what we saw this last week, which is...
So they're not valuable now. They're valuable in 2027.
Yes. Yeah. But they, I think they have access to all of their picks until 2031. Like if I'm a team trying to figure out what on Golden State I want to get, it's anything beyond 2028 or 2029. Yeah. Because Curry's not going to be as good. This team is not going to be very good. And those picks are going to be high. I think that's why the Warriors have held on to them. You know, they didn't give up much for Jimmy last year. It was just their first-round pick of this season. And they ended up with a guy who's probably playing like a first-round pick, at least a late first-round pick, in Will Richard. So, but Trey Murphy is going to cost you. I think Larry Markkanen is obviously going to cost you. But
picks or players?
Both.
Yeah.
Yeah, both. I think that...
Well, let's just play the... If I'm Danny Ainge and you're Dunleavy, you're going to offer me what? That is not... Okay, whatever. What is your offer?
So it's going to be JK and then filler around him. So it could be Pods, could be Buddy, could be... I don't know. Whatever money is going to get you to where Lowry is right now, which I think is like around 40. And I'm going to need probably two firsts and two pick swaps. I'm not doing that if I'm the Warriors.
Oh, I thought you were Dunleavy.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay.
Well, I'll give you JK. You know, you can have a few of these dudes, and I'll give you one unprotected.
Yeah. Dial tone.
All right. Well, let me go down to Joe Dumars in New Orleans. Hey, Joe. It's Mike D. Remember me from back in the day? You got this young guy named Trey Murphy. You just paid him. Pretty good player, but we really know you're building around Derek Queen. I mean, that's why you traded your first-round pick this upcoming year. Even though it might be a top-three pick and you were foolish to get rid of it for this guy, you're going to build around him because Zion's not it. So you might as well just give me Trey Murphy. So how about Kuminga, and we'll throw in an unprotected first and, you know, maybe a pick swap or two.
Dial tone.
Nope.
All right, well, let me go to Brooklyn. I don't know who their GM is, but he might have some peace. Like, that's kind of what it's going to be like. I think the Warriors do not want to give up future draft capital. And it's as much for the reason that, like, it's because of this week, right? You saw what happened on Sunday when they looked mainly lethargic without Curry, which, by the way, is a possibility in a couple of years. They could look a lot like that. I mean, not very good. And on Wednesday, which is if Curry doesn't have it or he's compromised in any way, shape, or form, your team's going to get blown out. So it's like, I understand where fans want to go all in at this point, but if I'm the front office, I also can recognize that this team is headed towards an iceberg, and I'm going to need some life jackets.
So the trade deadline, which is not far apart, but not far away, what is it? The Warriors are going to stand pat?
No, I think they're going to try and use Kuminga to find a piece that fits.
But that piece is not Trey Murphy. And well, so that's the thing that I think...
Trey Murphy would be great. I just don't think they can get him. But
well, that's what I mean. And so I think people have to brace themselves. Because I think the only reason why he's going to be with this team at the end of the year is that they can't find value in return, what they deem as value for Jonathan Kuminga.
That's why you think JK will stay with the team.
Yeah.
Could be. I mean, I don't think they want to give up on him, but I also, I mean, push has got to come to shove with this guy. Like, and it's as much about him as it is the team. Like, I don't want to be sitting here, and by the way, he's eligible to be traded on January 15th, so literally 2 months from today. I don't want to be here talking about another season in which he plays five good games, looks lost for five games, plays five good games, looks lost for five games, and wondering what we're going to do. Like, you just... I think that was the understanding from this summer, that they were going to try and put him in a place where he wants to be, and they're going to try and find a player that can come in and help this team. You know, I think in the meantime, I think he's been as committed as he's ever been. I think he's done a good job at trying to mix his skill set with what they need, you know, but like the last 4 years, it just doesn't really feel like a fit.
He just doesn't get it. And I don't know that the light will ever go on for guys like that. I don't mean to be critical of the man because he's got all the talent in the world, but it's not about talent. It's all upstairs. You and I were in an interesting discussion because usually our discussions in between breaks are like we throw a baseball at pasta.
Yeah, you asked me about OnlyFans and stuff like that.
I've never talked OnlyFans, only on the air, believe it
or
not.
I like OnlyFans.
Oh, I'm out of here.
You got 10 minutes.
I don't even know what the hell I was saying.
We're having an interesting
discussion. We were having a conversation about Jonathan. Yeah. We were talking about how that athletes, in order to get to the NBA, in order to get to the NFL and Major League Baseball, you were the best in grammar school. You were the best in your state in high school. You are a rare breed, all right? You're amongst the best athletes in the world in the NBA. But in order to graduate to be a good player, forget about being a great player. It's not about the athleticism or the talent. Certainly it is to a certain degree. But it's about what's between your ears. It's how you are wired as a human being. As good as Michael Jordan is, it's Michael Jordan, the confidence that he has in big games. That's not something you learn. That's not something you teach. That's DNA. And I think that when it comes to Jonathan Kuminga, we all know what this guy can do and the potential. But the only thing that's going to inhibit that growth or that graduation to the next level, it's the mental makeup. Does he have the mentality of a star? We know he has the body and the potential physically, but does he have what it takes from a mental standpoint to be one of the best, or at least what he perceives himself as being in the NBA?
I don't think it's here. I just think there's already been too many complications. Like you literally saw it in the span of a week. It's like he regressed to being the player that he was at times last year.
I don't mean to interrupt, but you brought this up, and what's interesting to compare and contrast him to Pajemski, who isn't nearly as good as him when you talk about the raw athleticism, but
I think pods, that's where his irrational confidence is a tool for him.
Exactly.
It's why people hate him, and it's why during the games, you're like, what is Pods doing? But that irrational confidence is, to me, why, if we're going to take Draymond and say that he was talking to Pajemski and Kuminga, the guys with, you know, agendas on the team, you saw one player react one way, which was Kuminga, kind of. He looked like he was in his head, and the knee might have had something to do with it, so I'll give him a pass for now, so we're gonna monitor that. But in the moment, it looked like he was second-guessing himself like he was at points last year and throughout his first 4 years. Then you see Pods react to that messaging, and he just puts his head down and continues to play the way that has gotten him to where he is. And yes, he makes mistakes and he does dumb stuff, but he also made some winning plays last night. He made some winning plays on Wednesday night. He helped them win both of those games. It wasn't the main reason, but he helped. That, to me, is the difference of, like, where you're talking about the mental capacity, or not capacity, but like that's where the headiness, I think, impacts both of those guys. One guy has a confidence that is wavering, Kuminga, and one guy has a confidence that is completely irrational. But that's what's gotten him to where he is.
I think one guy, after missing shots and getting indecisive and not playing well, has a tendency to crawl into a hole and disappear. Whereas the other guy, that other guy being Pajemski, while he's not playing well, is always telling himself, I'm going to keep shooting it because I'm Brandon Pajemski and I'm special.
And he's not.
He's not.
But he doesn't know it.
But it's that confidence that you wish you could somehow, you know, take a syringe and inject in Jonathan Kuminga.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I think he's going to have to try and find or conjure some of that.
I think Pasta's in trouble.
Oh, Pasta's done. Pasta's...
We literally, just the superintendent just came into class and is yelling at Pasta.
Shut down the operation. Pasta, well, we know he's a loud mouth and he's probably screaming at the
Seriously,
top of his lungs.
Is that an executive? Is that somebody I should be aware of that's now talking to our producer?
I'm going
to
be honest with you. I have no clue.
Pasta, you want to tell us what just happened? Did the CEO of the company just come into the
Should I know
office?
Her?
No, so there's a package here for somebody that's not here, and the person who's delivering the package needs a signature, but the person's not here. So I was counsel for someone asking me what they should do.
Bring the package up right now and let's open it.
Did I
now,
just hear someone ask you for advice?
Someone asked me for advice and I said, I don't know. And I just kept smiling.
Well, that's you.
That's
in
pasta.
A nutshell.
He's going places, folks.
He's getting married.
Big pot. You got to stop doing that.
Adriana!
Keep, pushing all of your expectations for us on these young people. You just...
What's the line on him getting married before you?
That's messed up.
I was seriously thinking about it. I'd probably go like minus 300.
You're a lot like me, man, but you'll get married.
You gotta be in the pool before you learn how to swim. I mean, good Lord.
But you don't have a fear of commitment, right? It's just like, I think you're...
No, I just... Women have a fear of commitment to me. All right, so that'll do it for us on this week.
I dealt with that for the next 3 hours.
Yeah, DeVellin's going to put me on his couch. We're going to figure this thing out together. And
give me another prediction for the upcoming week since you did so well this previous week.
Oh, that's right. I got to look at this. So, yeah, even though we didn't badmouth the Warriors, but we weren't as super high on them as others. Last week I had the Warriors beating San Antonio. This week, next time we talk, they'll have played four games.
What are they doing against the Pelicans?
They're going to beat the Pelicans.
What are they doing against the Magic?
I think they're going to win against Orlando. They're going to lose to Miami.
Well, here's the thing. Be careful what you say about Orlando because they've turned a corner. Desmond Bane's playing much better.
Oh, my God. What? Then you didn't watch the game last night.
Oh, I didn't.
They were down 4 with 3 minutes left to the Nets.
They lost?
No, they won, but they were down 4 with 3 minutes left to the Nets.
All right.
Anyways, they're going to go 3-1. We're going to be talking about an 11-7 Warriors team next time we talk.
All right.
Lock it up. Of course, now they're going to go 1-3.
Exactly. You're going to go back to being, I am wrong, Evan Giddings.
All right, Dan. That'll do it for us here on Warriors This Week. Big thank you to Pasta. What is that? What is it?
Seriously?
Big thank you to Dan DeVellin. My name is Evan Giddings. Same place, same time next week. House of the Warriors, 95.7 The Game.
This is Dan DeVellin saying, so long, everybody.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.